So for the purpose of the recording, my name is Barry Adams, and this is Wednesday, March the 4th, 2020, and this is the weekly FatherHeart.tv webcast. And today, I'm talking about, the title is The Little Pathway to Greatness. That name kind of popped into my head a few days ago, and it was just like, wow, I really like that. And please forgive me for kind of banging the same drum over and over again, but I am going to talk about a childlike heart once again. I'm feeling that more and more these days, and it seems like it's the last, especially the last few months, I'm feeling that I'm really wanting to bring form, more form, as best I can to the things that I feel like I've been processing in my own heart about the kind of the life-changing ramifications or implications of changing and becoming little again. And what I'm going to be sharing today, I haven't shared before in this way. It's an ongoing process that I'm in as well. I'm walking alongside of this with you. And so I just pray that the Lord will help us all to be able to have ears to hear what is Him. And if there's things that I say that, you know, I pray that they would just fall to the ground. Again, I'm on this journey with you. And I just think there is something of substance that I know for me, I feel like I'm trying to describe the indescribable, but hopefully the Holy Spirit will help me with words today. So I just want to start with praying. So Father, I thank you that the kingdom does belong to little children and to those who embrace the childlike heart. Father, we know that in our intellect. We understand that. It's scripturally very, very clear that you hide the kingdom from the wise and the learned, and you reveal your kingdom to little babies, for this was your good pleasure. We know that the learning to live with a childlike heart is the baseline for kingdom greatness. And I just pray that you would help us to reconnect to the little us inside, reconnect to the little boy or little girl that just needs to be loved today. I pray, Father, that you would give me the words by your Spirit to help describe the indescribable in a greater way than ever before. Yeah. Thank you that you are Father, and Creator is what you do, but Father is who you are. And we want to know you as Father more and more and more. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing a revelation of your Father to planet Earth and to each and every one of us personally, intimately, and you continue to bring revelation of your fathering, the fathering of God to our hearts. Yeah, and thank you, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Sonship, the Spirit of both the Father and the Son that bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. So, yeah, we just look forward to what you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, it's funny, Stephen Hill, for those who know Stephen in New Zealand, he's when I just posted on Facebook just a few minutes ago, he posted and he had a comment saying when he saw the title the Little Pathway to Greatness, he mentioned this Catholic saint called Saint Teresa of Lisieux, and he said that sounds like something that she would talk about. And you know, I'm not sure how much Stephen has studied this Catholic saint, but in fact he was right on. And so In my intro today, I just want to just talk about this. Yeah, she was a young girl, a lady when she passed away. She was 24 years of age, but she was canonized in sainthood and in the Catholic Church. But I'm just going to read a little bit about this young lady who had a revelation of the Father Heart of God in such a way that she actually, I don't know if she, in a sense, coined the phrase the little way, but she was known for the way she lived her life. It was called the little way. So I'm just going to read, and this is an article that I read online about her from Reverend Jack Riley. So these are excerpts from the article. It says, the young Carmelite was hardly known outside of the cloister walls of her monastery in Lezo, France. Living faithfully her little way, she managed to remain largely unnoticed, even by the religious sisters with whom she lived. Yet not long after her death at the age of 24, Pope St. Pius X would call her the greatest saint of modern times, known to her contemporaries as Sister Teresa of the Child, Jesus, and the Holy Face. This young woman is more commonly known as the Little Flower. Recognizing this, she understood that we must become like little children, totally dependent upon our Father God. St. Teresa believed that extraordinary graces are present in the moment, are present in the most ordinary duties and chores if we perform them in union with Jesus. One beautiful analogy of how a soul reaches perfection was seeing herself as a young toddler who could not climb the stairs by herself, but needed the help of her Father God to get up to the next step until she reached the top. St. Teresa's little way is simplicity itself, detachment from worldly things, the recognition of her own small place in God's plan, and a profound love of God in himself and in all things. This leads one to joy, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that can manifest in a deep and profound experience of God and everything. Now, so I discovered this actually by accident a while ago, I haven't done a lot of research on this young nun that had this revelation of called the Little Way. But when I started to read some of the things about how she saw her life and how she saw that God was her father and she saw herself as a toddler, it really reminded me so much of some of the statements that, as I've mentioned before, that Jack Winter has shared when he was still alive. When I heard him, you know, talk about the smaller that we can become, the bigger that God, our Father, can become on our behalf. And, you know, can you be a little boy, a little girl that needs to be loved? And so, you know, when I started to read a little bit about her, and then I realized that Mother Teresa, of course, we know Mother Teresa of Calcutta and the impact that she really had on the world with her ministry to the poor, that she actually took her name, Mother Teresa, from this young girl, St. Teresa of Lisieux, and she really resonated with the same things. And this is just, another article that talks about that. This is Mother Teresa of Calcutta chose the name Teresa because she was inspired by St. Teresa of Lisieux's capability to do ordinary things with extraordinary love. Both of these women are beautiful examples of how we are used as instruments of God's love. And one of the statements, and I think this was the first statement that I came across by accident by Mother Teresa that kind of started me on doing a little bit of research when I discovered this young Catholic saint. And this is a quote from Mother Teresa. And for those who know my background and my connection with the Father's love letter that has been shared around the world the last 21 years, you'll understand that when I read this phrase, it really kind of exploded in my heart. And this is Mother Teresa. She said, "I am a little pencil in the hand of a God who is sending a love letter to the world." And when I read that, it was like, wow, you know, I had never read that just until recently. And I created a plaque that's hanging in our house now with that quote. And so that really kind of, just intrigued me, you know, with St. Teresa, Mother Teresa, and then how she was connected to St. Teresa and this whole idea of the little way. Because I absolutely love that description of the life that we are called to live, that it's just a little way, and you know, we are learning to grow down so that we can grow up into the kingdom. And then the funny thing is about this as well is I was talking to my mom, who has a Catholic background, when she was growing up, and when she was 14 years of age, she had to go through confirmation, and in that confirmation process, being confirmed, she needed to take on a saint's name as part of her name. Her name was Elizabeth Ann Delaney, so she had to add a saint's name in her confirmation name. And she chose, and I just learned this 2 days ago, Teresa Rose, which is the she actually was very familiar with this young girl, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, and the childlike heart and the little way and all those. I had no idea. All these years, I knew her Catholic name was as Teresa Rose, but she took it from this saint. And so I just find it kind of interesting when I think of my own life and the journey that I'm on, and even more and more these days, I'm asking the Father for ways to describe how we live. Like, you know, when people ask my wife and I how we live in the love of the Father every day, really the words of Jack Winter really keep reverberating in my soul, which says, you know, the smaller that we can become, the bigger that our Father can become on our behalf. And to be honest, life only makes sense when we're little. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on weakness, and it was on a day when our life's work digitally, you know, we had backups on computers, but on the internet where we had a file hosting service, our life's work disappeared overnight. But that was basically like almost 4,000 files. So there would have been thousands of links that, so anything that we've ever created since we started this ministry, back in 1999, it would have been all gone overnight, and it was a file hosting service. And yeah, it was like I felt like I was punched in the gut, and I discovered that in the morning, and then in the afternoon I had to do this webcast, and I had already planned to talk about weakness, and I felt so weak, and because it was devastating, because at the time I didn't know if we would ever be able to retrieve it, and we'd have to rebuild thousands of links. You know, we could upload it again fresh, but we'd have to rebuild it for 6 websites and, you know, thousands of links. And so I was very weak, and the only way that I could manage it, the only way I could even, you know, feel like I had any amount of courage to get up and share on the webcast is to stay little. Like, it's the only way that makes sense. Today, you know, being on the webcast now and having the seeing this this bar of the internet connection going up and down and all over the place, the only way that I can have any measure of peace is to say, you know what, I'm just little, I can't control the internet, and Papa, would you just look after things? So because there's no sense both of us doing it, and you know, in essence, by doing that, it's just a practical casting all your cares onto Him, because He cares for us, right? So that's my intro. And so what I want to talk about today, and again, I say this with great, I don't know if trepidation is the word, but this is how life works for me. This is how life works for Ann and I. This is how we live in the Father's love every day. And oftentimes when I think about a childlike heart and learning to be little, that little pathway to greatness, I've asked the Lord many times, you know, and I continue to really, is just like, is this just a revelation for Ann and I? You know, I mean, there are all kinds of facets in the diamond of God's kingdom and His revelation and in His glory. And so I totally get that, you know, what we carry and what we see is very, very personal to us. And it is the only way that life works for us. But, you know, oftentimes because we have this connection where we have webcasts and teaching and we have some influence and doing a little bit of traveling, you know, the only thing that I can share when I minister is my life, right? That's really how the kingdom works. There's no rocket science to it. It's just, you know, freely as you receive, freely give. I can only give you what I have, and this is what I have. And so oftentimes, many times, and for those who are closest to me, you know, you can ask them, whether it's Mark Jide or my wife or, you know, many of my friends, I've just said, like, if this is just a personal revelation, I'm good with it because it works for me. Like if you, when I talk about the Father's love and living in love, and the more that the older I get, the smaller I become. If that doesn't resonate with you, you know, bless you and you know, just pursue God in the way that He's revealing you. But the only thing is, for me, it's working for us. And this is the only thing I can really share. And we've seen God carry us through the most devastating of family circumstances, with our daughter getting cancer and 2.5 years of daily chemotherapy treatment for leukemia. We've seen God provide miraculously daily for over 21 years. Without having a paycheck or anything else. He just meets our needs every month. And we've, you know, seen him breathe on things that we've done that have gone around the world, that there's nothing we could ever do to make any of this happen. And so so when I'm sharing today, I'm trying to share from my life experience. And some of the stuff is coming from a place of asking the Father how to bring form to this, and if it makes sense. And if it doesn't make sense, bless you guys. If some of you are listening to me and think that we're in denial, leave us alone, because it's working. I don't think so. I believe that, especially with friends on the webcast and who watch the recordings afterwards, that there is a likeness of our heart. So I want to start again with the very, very familiar scripture, because it's Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. And this is what I want to read. And then I want to unpack a bit. And more than anything, I want to ask you, when I read this, I wonder if there are some nuggets in here that can help us practically have this transformation of changing and becoming little. And maybe, again, it could be just for me and my wife, but maybe not. So I'm just going to read Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called the little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." And, you know, I, just because of other scriptures where Jesus spoke about these things, I think it's really, really clear that Jesus was saying what he meant and meant what he said. He was very, very clear that the baseline for kingdom greatness is a childlike heart. And if we don't change, it's not that little children need to grow up. We need to grow down. And if we don't change and become like them, we're going to miss the awe and the wonder of the kingdom. So, you know, what I want to talk about, this little pathway to greatness in this webcast, is just some of the things that practically helped me, help my wife to deliberately stay in this little place. And so when you look at what Jesus did, first he does, when they ask who's the greatest, he brings a little child. He doesn't have this long sermon illustration. He just says, take a look. If you observe a child, you're going to see kingdom greatness, a little child. And of course, anytime Jesus talked about little children, it was always the descriptor for the children were little children. So the meaning was that they were either toddlers or babies. So, like, you know, they had to be carried to him. They had to be brought by their parents. So they were little children. So we're not talking about 9-year-olds. We're talking about from 0 to maybe 3. So this is the realm in which when Jesus talked about little children, that this is what he talked about. And so when you look at what Jesus says, he says, unless you turn, right? That's the first thing he says. Truly, and of course the NIV says, unless you change and become like little children. But the word change there is a Greek word, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but strepho, strefo is the phonetically English word, way to pronounce that, which means to twist, turn quite around, reverse, convert, turn back again. So when Jesus says, unless you change, some say unless you're converted, unless you repent, but the word means to go in the opposite direction. So if we understand that from an adult mindset, You know, if we are adults and we are trying to manage life with, and we're going in a direction, we're trying to be strong, we're trying to be competent, we're trying to manage things in our own strength, we're trying to intellectually figure everything out, trying to anticipate what God wants, you know, we're worn out, we're exhausted. If we're going in this direction, what does Jesus say? Go literally in the opposite direction. So the first thing is that whatever direction, you know, the adult competent us would go, we're to go in the opposite direction. So like when Jesus said that, he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. He said to go in the opposite direction. And then the next part of this descriptor, he says, and become like little children, right? Now, the word there for become is to become. It doesn't mean to kind of take a few attributes of a little child. It actually means to become childlike. To be, the word is ginoami. I don't know. I'm probably not doing that justice. But it means to cause, to be generated, to become, to come into being, to come to pass. So when Jesus said, unless you turn, you go in the opposite direction, right, of where you're going, and you actually have a transformation where you become like a little child. And of course, the part of the dynamic of Matthew 18, he says, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom. Other translations say, those who humble themselves like this little child will be considered greatest. And the word there, the Greek word there is tapino, I don't know, there's two O's at the end, which means to depress, to humiliate, to abase, to bring low. So I think one of the things that people can struggle with, at least for me, and when we look at the original sin, you know, Lucifer in heaven, it was pride, right? I will be like the Most High. He didn't want to be like him because he loved him. He wanted to replace him. But it was this independent spirit, this arrogance saying, I can do things. I don't need God's help. I don't want God's help. I want to replace him, and I want to sit on the throne. And so that was the very original sin of Lucifer. And of course, that is what he tempted Adam and Eve with in the garden, when there's two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was independence, in spades. It was completely, you don't need God's help. You can partake of this tree. You can have knowledge of good and evil. You can figure it out, so you don't need to go to God and be dependent. You can be independent. And they bought the lie, of course, which portrayed God as being insecure, that he wasn't good, that he wanted to hide this beautiful tree from you. You know, and of course, if they would have just eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived forever. They would have been they would have had everything that came from God himself would have been theirs. So there would have been no lack of any revelation, understanding, because we would have actually been joined with life itself. But because of this temptation to be separate, this temptation to be strong, this temptation to be independent has caused us a world of grief. A world of pain, a world of exhaustion, a world of trying to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And so, the only way that we can really embrace, I believe, a childlike heart is through humbling ourselves. Now, this is not some false humility. This is not, you know, the ascetic lifestyle where you degrade yourself, or you beat yourself, or any of those other things. But it's truly like children have this spectacular humility, because little children are just so comfortable with who they are. They're not trying to be anything else. They're not trying to pretend to be anything else. They are just who they are. And I really believe that humility is not some kind of self-hatred, because that is, you know, God is not pleased. He wants us to love what he loves. But it's coming to terms with, in Corinthians, I think 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, cracked pots, clay pots, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, I truly believe that true humility is just coming to terms with we're cracked pots, we're clay pots, we're fragile in our humanity, but yet in our humanity is the Father has chosen to make his dwelling place. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in you and I. And it's in this place of when we are able to come to terms with that and be able to embrace that and celebrate, I'm a crackpot filled with the power of God. I believe then we are touching true humility. And little children just live there. They intuitively live in this beautiful, humble place where they don't try to pretend they're anything else. There's no falsehood in them. There's no guile. There's no deceit. There's no people pleasing. They are just who they are. Now, they learn those other things in a hurry in the orphan world system, but the very origins of their heart, beautiful humility. It's interesting in James 4:6, you know, when we talk about this whole idea of you know, because oftentimes this idea of changing and transforming and becoming little, it's like motherhood and apple pie in the sense that it's understood. Yeah, the Bible says that. But we really don't know how to put form to it and to actually live it. And oftentimes, I think it's this idea of humility brings us into a place of weakness, brings us in a place of vulnerability. It brings us into a place of transparency. We don't pretend anymore. We don't try to put all this bravado up that we understand, like I talked about 2 weeks ago in my weakness message, that when we're weak, then we're strong. It's not like when we're weak, we get God's strength, and then all of a sudden we're strong now, and we don't, you know, we have this bravado. I believe it's in our weakness that strength is revealed. So James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And, you know, I really believe that. You know, if I asked any believer on planet Earth, would you want God to oppose you or any of your attributes, that there'd be an opposition to God? Every person would say, of course not. it's the humility of a child that actually brings favor. It actually attracts the grace of God. But it's when we're walking in our independence and self-sufficiency and in our adult mindset where we can do everything and we don't need God to help. And, you know, it's the origin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which got mankind in trouble in the first place. Now, does that make sense to anybody? But for me, I really believe that when we can humble ourselves like a little child, and it's a really big deal. I think this is one of the sticking points with this, with this journey of learning to become little again, is because we see it as insignificant, or we don't see it as stimulating theologically, or we see it as foolish and all those other things, and our intellect gets in the way. But I really believe that there is a place in the Father's love, that the more we believe that God is our Father and he really loves us, and we don't have to be competent, we don't have to be strong, we don't have to be big, we don't have to be rich, we don't have to be powerful, we can just be little and he can carry us all the days of our life. I'm telling you, I believe that it opens up the impossible to us on a daily basis. And that's what I'm up for. I'm not sure about you, but it doesn't mean you have to be big. Like, God has to show himself big and strong and powerful and all those things through you. But when we are able to embrace the humility of a little child and be able to just celebrate that, I truly believe that it opens up the kingdom in a way, in kingdom possibilities like nothing else. When we talk about strength, if I'm moving in my own strength, then I am limited to how strong I am. And then if I try to do something that is beyond my strength, then I can't do it. But if I'm not moving in my own strength, if there's no illusions, I'm weak, I'm foolish, I'm poor in spirit, then when I'm relying on the very power and source of God to do anything, because I can't do it apart, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Then all of a sudden we have the power of God, the unlimited, immeasurable power of God at our continual disposal 24 hours a day. But I believe when I try to be strong, my own strength just gets in the way. So James 4:6 says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then go in verse 10, James 4:10, he says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And you see, little kids like love to be carried by their fathers and their mothers, right? We have our little Levi is 1 year of age, and now I am his personal chariot. One of the first things he does when he comes to our house now is when I pick him up, he grunts and he points. And he tells Grandpa where he wants to go. And then we have this thing where we have a pathway around our house, down the stairs, things he wants to explore, but he can't get there himself because he's still crawling. So guess what? Grandpa, in his strength, picks up Levi, and then Levi just points and grunts, and we go all over the house, and I'm his personal chariot. I truly believe that there is a place in God for you and I, that if we humble ourselves, if we can truly see the joy and the beautiful humility of becoming like a little child again, that God will lift us up. You know, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. See, little kids love to be carried. When we sit on our dad's shoulders, we have the best vantage point ever. We can see farther into the kingdom than we could ever do in our own strength, just crawling around in the grass. But it's in this place of intimacy with our dad that I truly believe we can see the kingdom. See, the reality is, from God's perspective, he's carrying us every day of our life, whether we know it or not. We may not be aware of it, or we may be resisting it, and we're trying to do everything in our own strength. But the truth is, he's carrying you, he's feeding you, he's providing for you, he's protecting you, whether you know it or not, whether I know it or not. But there is such a comfort that comes, there's such a joy that comes when we realize that he is providing, he is being a father to us. 2 Corinthians 6:18, he says, I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters, declares the Lord Almighty. You see, he's fathering you. He's mothering you. He's parenting you. He's comforting you. He's lifting you up. He is your strong tower. He's your fortress. He is the secret place where you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty and find rest for your weary soul. That's the truth. That is more real than the orphan world system that we live in that says it's a dog-eat-dog world. You got to fight for it. You got to work for it. You got to compete. And nothing comes for free. I mean, you want to live that way, you know, you can. But God will love you still the same. But I truly believe there is a way that you and I can experience a joy and a rest and a peace when we have a transformation and become little again. In Isaiah 46, 3 to 4, God is speaking to Israel, and he says this, listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all of the remnants of the people of Israel, you whom I've upheld since your birth, and I've carried you since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. See, the Father's heart for you, even to your old age, is he's rescuing you, he's sustaining you, and he's carrying you. Do you know you're being carried? Would you like to be carried? Would you like to sit on your dad's shoulders and see the kingdom from his perspective? You see, I truly believe that's what the kingdom's all about. And little kids, they hear that and go, yay, pick me up. But the adult, the independent self, the one who wants to be able to do everything in their own strength, we resist that because that's foolish. You know, it's not the way of the world. Well, this is why I believe the little way, the little pathway to greatness, the way that's less traveled, is a way that is there for you and I, and it brings form, whether if you live at home and you're parenting your kids, or you're grandma and grandpa watching your kids play football, whether you're going to the nations, whether you're having a nap, it doesn't matter. The Father is fathering you, and the more that you and I can receive his fathering, I believe the more that it will transform us so that we don't have to be big anymore. Because he's chosen the weak things of the world and the foolish things of the world and the poor things of the world. Because he resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. See, I truly believe that if we are able to really rejoice in this, that it just brings about a beautiful place in our hearts, where we can do the impossible on a daily basis because it's not based on us, it's based on our dad. You see, Isaiah 40, verse 11, describes God. It says, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those who have young. You see, I really believe that in this pathway, this little pathway of learning to walk in the Father's love, that we need to humble ourselves. It's not like God humbles us. He says, humble yourself, and God will lift you up. And there is no better beautiful humility than that of a little child. See, I believe that God's grace is attracted to this humility. And it's that humility that we can realize that we're weak. See, it says in Romans 5 that God loved us when we were powerless. God loved us when we were His enemies. God loved us when we were steeped in sin. See, He hasn't changed. I'm still powerless. I'm still helpless. I'm still weak. And somehow in our Christian culture, we think that we come into the kingdom as little babies, and then, you know, we're born again and we come into this beautiful kingdom, but then we're supposed to grow up right away and get the work done, and we start carrying all the weight of the world on our shoulders again. The Bible never says that. You know, and of course, I've said it many times, but just to say it, if somebody's listening for the first time, I am not talking about childishness. I am talking about childlikeness. Because little children are the greatest in the kingdom, not little, you know, not the childish. I mean, sure, little kids can be childish at times, but I'm talking about childlikeness. And Jesus Himself in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, when He says, come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. See, Jesus said, I want you to learn from Me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You see, if the greatest in the kingdom has the heart of a child, and Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom, and of course Jesus said, My Father is greater than I. There is something of an aspect of a childlike heart that Jesus Himself carried. In John 5, verse 19 and 20, He said, the Son can do nothing of Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He does. You see, how do we humble ourselves? And I think that's one of the things. It's, again, it's not this false humility. It's not this, you know, self-hatred, because I'll tell you, God, you know, God wants us to stop all of that. He wants us to repent. If you're struggling with self-hatred, the only thing you can do is break agreement with those lies, because God loves you with all His heart. He values you. Your value to Him is immeasurable. So He wants you to, like, I really believe loving your neighbor as yourself is just simply agreeing with God's opinion of you. He emptied the bank to secure your salvation. You are of immeasurable value to Him and worth to Him. You are not serving the kingdom by hating yourself. So if you struggle with self-hatred, humility is not, you know, hating yourself. Humility is just simply agreeing of God, with God's opinion of how He sees you. So when I think of this passage of Scripture in Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5, and this is something I'm processing myself, and I wonder, and this is the question, you know, like when I struggle with the weight of the world, when, you know, all of our digital files get wiped out in a day, our daughter is in cancer treatment for 2.5 years, or we have no idea where our provision is going to come from, or all these things. The only thing that makes sense for me when I, like, oftentimes I forget, right? And one of the things that, you know, last week when I shared about reconnecting with the little you, and I asked the Lord, how do I do that? One of the things that I felt the Lord say to me, and again, this is just a personal, you know, it wasn't audible, but I felt in my heart He said it. He says that help them remember who they are. And you see, when I forget, when I think that I have to do the work, I'm responsible, I have to make everything happen, it's easy for me to do that. When I was a little kid and my dad was an alcoholic, I felt responsible for his happiness. So I have a tendency in the very core of my being, from the brokenness of my family, my background, of being responsible. I can take responsibility for everything and everybody around me. So it's not about I'm trying to, you know, deflect all this responsibility and I've been irresponsible all my life. It's the opposite. I have carried the weight of people's expectations on my shoulders. And whether they're even real sometimes, I, you know, with this struggle to please people. But when I was a little kid, I never had a chance to be a little kid because I was trying to manage my father's happiness for him. So now when I discover that God is my father and I don't have to carry the weight of the world, man, I am in both feet. But sometimes I forget. And, you know, I'm hoping as I mature in the kingdom by growing down that I'm staying close more than I have in the past to this, who I really am in God's sight. But when I forget, I start carrying the weight of the world. I start feeling responsible. I start, you know, getting really focused and tunnel vision and feeling very serious and trying to, you know, feeling that I got to do it all. But then when I remember, oh, I'm just a little kid. What was I thinking? And then what do? I turn. That's the first thing. I repent. I go back in the opposite direction, just like Jesus said, unless you turn and become like little children. And then I go back to the truth and say, I'm just little. I'm just a little boy with a big dad. That's all I am. I don't know how many times in over the years when I have been overwhelmed with a vision to see the love letter delivered to every person on the planet or other things, that where I just start hyperventilating or I get overwhelmed with the scope of the vision. The only thing that recalibrates me to the truth is turning and becoming little again. Just saying, what was I thinking? Father, I just repent. I just change. I turn. I'm just a little kid. That's who I am. And then I come back to that place and I just stretch out my hands to Father and say, Father, would you pick me up? I'm so sorry. What was I thinking? I'm just little. And guess what happens? He fathers me. He fathers Anne. He fathers our family. He does things for us that we could never do. And so I wonder, and I just ask this, what if, I'm just trying to work this out in my own life. So if theologically you think I'm way off, bless you, you know, I may be, I don't know. I'm trying not to be, but what if in every circumstance that life brings to you and I, we have a choice to be able to turn, go in the opposite direction, become like a little children again, humble ourselves and say, Father, I can't do this on my own. What if every aspect of a childlike heart is ours through that same process? And again, it's not I think, you know, this, you know, I pray that the Holy Spirit would bring revelation to you on this and for you and your own life and how this works. I mean, I'm just sharing from my own life, but what if you're restless and you can't have peace, you can't, you know, you're anxious and you're fearful and all these things. What if you just thought you stopped in your tracks rather than trying to be adult and trying to fix everything in your own strength? You stop and say, okay, Father, I'm going to come to my senses. You see, the prodigal son came home, right? He came to his senses when he was in a pig pen. When he came to the end of himself, the Bible says that he came to his senses and said, what am I doing in this pig pen? You know, and this is in Luke chapter 15. He said that the servants in my father's house have more than what I'm eating with the pigs here. And that's started his journey home. Maybe, and just maybe, you and I need to have an awakening when we come to the end of ourselves and whatever it is, whether it's provision, whether it's protection, whether it's the future, whether it's retirement, whether it's our health, whether it's our children, whether it's our finances, whether it's our ministry call, or whether it's whatever, it's just say, Father, I just want to stop in my tracks. I want to come to my senses. I want to wake. I'm just little. I am not this adult. You never created me to carry this weight. You never created me to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You created me to live in the tree, eating the partaking of the tree of life forever, living in the garden, naked and unashamed, not aware of my own nakedness. You see, through Jesus Christ and what he did 2,000 years ago on the cross, when he said, when his resurrection message was, go tell my brothers that I'm returning to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father. That is the new covenant reality. That is the kingdom reality where God has become our Father and we can live as if he's fathering us every moment and every situation and every circumstance. So I don't know. I'm just asking this because this is how it works for me. I forget that I'm little. I forget. It's easy for me to forget. But when I remember that I'm just little and I return and I go back to the simplicity of being a little loved little boy of God, little son of God, a little heir. I'm an heir, little heir of God. Where it's not about my effort. It's not about my strength. It's not about my competence. It's about my dad. And it's about my union with Jesus. I've heard it said before, between me and my big brother, we know everything. Well, I don't know anything, but my big brother knows everything. So when I'm in union with Jesus, then I've got the mind of Christ. Easy peasy, that's it. I don't know if any of this makes sense to anybody. Thanks for the encouragement. I see some of the comments. But my prayer for you today, and when you look at Matthew 18, 1-5, verses 1-5, where Jesus says, look at this little child. Just look. You're seeing the kingdom in this little child. And unless you turn, go in the opposite direction and become, not to a few things, but to actually have a transformation where you become like a little child yourself and humble yourself, embrace the childlike humility where it attracts the favor of God. See, you have nothing to prove. I have nothing to prove to God. He loves us with an everlasting love. In the spiritual realm, when the angels see you, they see an heir of God, a little heir. You don't have anything to prove because God lives in you. You are his heir. Jesus even said that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet of the old covenant. Yet the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. So when we think about even this intellectual understanding and theological understanding, this grid of power and intellect and will and force and all of this other stuff that religion brings, well, guess what? The least in the kingdom is greater than anything in self-effort. And that's, it's such good news, at least for me. And so I don't know. I just like to pray for I'm going to put the music on now. And, I just maybe take a few minutes, just to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about this. If you want to, if you think I'm not really making sense. I'm so sorry. I can only give you what I receive, but. My prayer is that the Father would just speak to you and I right now in this moment. And that he would show you the ways that you're carrying the weight of the world on your own shoulders that he never, ever intended. And Father, I pray that there would be an awakening in our spirit. In the very core of our being, that there would be something that the lights would come on to really see ourselves as you see us, that you've been rescuing us, you've been sustaining us, you've been carrying us all the days of our life, even to our old age and gray hairs. And Father, I pray that the adult intellect that struggles to grasp a childlike heart, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just break through in our hearts. And that Abba cry would come where your spirit bears witness with our spirits, that we are your children, that we are your heirs, and we're joint heirs with Jesus. Just for love's sake, that's all. And that you have given us your own spirit as a deposit to guarantee our inheritance. Father, we are heirs of yours now on planet Earth. Seated at the right hand of the Father, hidden in Christ with God, yet on planet Earth, we're little heirs learning just to trust you? Would you restore childlike trust? Would you restore childlike rest, childlike simplicity, childlike imagination, childlike creativity, childlike playfulness? Wow. Because you never created us to live outside of the garden. Our bodies were not created to live outside of the garden. But because what Jesus did on the cross, we have the new garden reality. The new covenant is the garden where Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So Father, I pray that your love would come to every bruised reed, every smoldering wick in our life where we're discouraged, where we're weak, where we're fearful, where we're alone. And Father, would your love come and would you just touch the little boy or the little girl in us, that little child that just needs to be loved. And Father, would you show us the little pathway to greatness, the little way to learn to stay little, to live in a simplistic, childlike life where God is our Father, Jesus is our big brother. We live in the kingdom of the Son of His love right now. We have no need. We have no fear. We are the object of your affection, the delight of your life. And you are pleased to reveal your kingdom to little babies. For this is your good pleasure. Oh, Father, thank you that you're so patient. Love is patient and kind. You're gentle with us, Father. And you understand why we struggle. You understand why we have, for fear's sake and for good intention's sake, we've filled our backpacks with all the cares of the world. I just pray now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would help us to cast every care onto your big, strong shoulders because you care for us. Whoa. I just encourage you. If the Lord just reminds you or shows you a boulder, a burden, a brick in your backpack that you've been carrying, just cast it. Just throw it on him. I just take this fear of the future and I just throw it onto your big strong shoulders. The fear of retirement and not having enough, I just throw onto your big strong shoulders. The fear of being sick, I throw onto your big strong shoulders. The fear of being rejected by other people, I just throw onto your big, strong shoulders. And on and on and on. Father, you just want our backpacks empty so we can enjoy life with you, learning to live as sons and daughters to Yahweh on planet Earth. Thank you, Jesus, for making all of this possible. And you're continuing by our union, you're continuing to reveal the Father to us. Wow. As you said, do not fear, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So teach us how to receive the kingdom like a little child would. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Bless you guys.